You can take your seats. You know, the end of the year is just really interesting, isn't it? In one strong sense, there's an ending. But with every ending, there's a beginning. And as Regina on our team today mentioned, that some have had a pretty hard year. Some have had better years. You know, I was thinking about the need for Jesus to be active in our life, especially when we begin to take inventory of what has transpired. There's been a lot of uncertainty in the world. An awful lot. Uncertainty in the economy, in the job market, in health situations, in weather patterns, in insecurity, in finances, in relationships. In fact, you can actually fill in the blank. The uncertainty in this year has been overwhelming. It's been a year of upheaval and unrest for many of God's children. And many of the followers of Jesus have felt lost, abandoned, and maybe even forgotten. And when we have those thoughts, they can either consume us or we can go to God with them. I just encourage you to go to God with everything. Not just the easy stuff. When you're feeling overwhelmed, when you're feeling uncertain, when you're feeling abandoned, feeling lost and forgotten, we can take the Word of God and apply it. Just like you would apply mayonnaise on a bread or peanut butter on a piece of bread, that you take the Word of God and you apply it. And that thing that has haunted you, apply the Word of God to it. When we find that we have these different emotions, we think we're the only ones having them. But the world is full of people, of God's people, that the enemy has been able to whisper things in their ear. And they've given it a little bit of room. And when the enemy gets a little room, he takes a couple more rooms. And it begins to infect your whole life. But I want you to listen to what David writes in Psalms 13. And maybe you're at that place today. Oh Lord, how long will you forget me? Forever? How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? Turn and answer me, O Lord my God. Restore the sparkle in my eyes, or I will die. Don't let my enemies gloat, saying, "We've defeated him." Don't let them rejoice at my downfall. Verse 5, David begins to apply God's word to his situations. Those first four verses, you think, well, he doesn't even know God. But then, verse 5 says, "But I trust in him. I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice. You have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he's good to me." Even in the midst of uncertainty, David worshiped. Sometimes we get in the midst of things that drive us down, and we choose to have a pity party. We choose to give air to those words that the enemy is causing us to think about. That you're forgotten, you're abandoned, you're lost. Everything is uncertain. And I can remember as a kid going through times in which I thought everyone was against me. And I didn't have anybody in my corner. And I want to tell you that that's the environment that invites the enemy to pile on. When the enemy sees a way into us, he takes that opportunity and he comes in like a flood. What was once a little thought of maybe uncertainty has become this doom and gloom feeling that where is God? Why has he forsaken me? Why do I feel forgotten? Well, what if we were to take the Word of God and apply it to our situation? The good news is this. Isaiah 59, the last part of verse 19 says this, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. How many of you have felt like the enemy has come in like a flood this year? We have. We sure have. We felt it like a tsunami wave. But when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Where do you think the invitation for the standard to be raised against him comes from? Worship. David, described as a man after God's own heart, described as one that was so close to God. But yet we see in his writings that he had days that things weren't that good. And he even had doubts. But I trust in your unfailing love, David writes. I will rejoice in you because you have rescued me. I will sing to the Lord because he is good to me. Today, you're looking at this year. Maybe you're looking at it with relief that it's fixing to be over. Or maybe you look back and you say there's some times that I really doubted God. Let me encourage you to take the Word of God that you have hid in your heart, that you know is the Word of God, and apply it to your situation. What man says really doesn't matter, but what God says is life. What the culture tells us really doesn't matter, but what God says is life-changing. And it would be a waste of a life that Jesus gave his life for us to go into this new year with a weight upon us. You know, the clock's going to strike midnight. Fireworks are going to go off. All our animals are going to hit the roof. And something new begins to start. Do you want to drag what you had in 2023 into 2024? No, I don't. You know, last night I had a very vivid dream, and I dream a lot, but they never make any sense to me, and I can't even remember enough of them to tell Susan about it the next day. All I'll say is I dreamed all night. It was crazy. What about? I don't know. It was just crazy. But I woke up this morning, and the dream that I had was so vivid, and it seemed to last the entire night. I know it didn't, but it seemed to. And it involved church. Came to church, and all of a sudden the parking lot was absolutely full of people that we had not expected. And when I say that, I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean that there was an influx. And what was interesting is they came with their tractor trailers full of gifts from God. And they came in and they began to find their place. And the church began to flourish. When I first woke up, I tried to make some sense to it, and it wasn't making any sense at all to me. Because all I saw was a parking lot full of tractor trailers and masses of people just invading. It felt like it was invading. And it was absolutely nothing done wrong or out of order. It was a sense that God was equipping us afresh, but also the reinforcements are soon to come. You know, when any time in church life, when things kind of vary, and I mean that by maybe numbers, maybe finances, those kinds of things, there is a pulling together of maybe the core that's there, shouldering much of the load. But there comes a time there is need for some additional people in the army. And when I asked the Lord, what did that dream even mean? I heard him say, just hold on. It's been a tough season. Reinforcements are on the way. Provision is on the way. And it's interesting that every single one of those people that were in the parking lot, when they came in, they did not come in and draw from. They came in and added to. I've never had a dream like that before. I never have. But I believe it's encouraging to the church that we can look out and we can get really discouraged about a lot of different things. It's easy to become discouraged, even in church. It's easy to get discouraged. But I hear the Lord saying, reinforcements are coming. I hear him saying that help is on the way. And I don't think that's just for the church. I believe because you're called here to be a part of this body, it's a word for you. That I don't know what you've been through this whole month, this whole year. I know what we've been through. And the enemy has worked hard to discourage us. And he's worked hard to discourage you. And he's thrown things at you with a haughty sense of, they'll not make it when I do this. He's thrown things at us that could possibly destroy us. But when we begin to apply the Word of God, greater is he that's in me than is he that is in the world. His grace is sufficient for me. He has not called me to be the tail, but the head. He has called me to be an overcomer. He has called me to be more than a conqueror. Those are the kinds of things that you just spread out over your life bread, and it makes a difference. And it's in worship that you're doing that. You're not doing it because it really makes a lot of sense, but you're doing it in obedience to the Word of God. And as we apply the Word of God into our situations, guess what? Things start to change in the natural. They immediately change in the supernatural. But the supernatural is so powerful that when it begins to change, the natural begins to bend its knee. So we've all said to God, how long will you forget me? Forever. How long will you look the other way? How long must I struggle with anguish in my soul and sorrow in my heart every day? How long will my enemy have the upper hand? God, I need a word from you. That's my rendition of that. Restore the sparkle to my eyes, or I will die. We will die without the power of God in our life. We will just shrivel up, because we are created to to move in His power. We're created to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We are not created to be normal, mortal human beings. In fact, the mortal part of us is not really us. The Bible calls that our tent. That's not who we are. That's who we think we are many times, but that's not who we are. But when you apply the Word of God to your situation, whatever it is, whatever is uncertain in your life, apply the Word of God to that. And if you need a visual, and I so often need visuals, think about making that sandwich. I like mayonnaise, some of you don't. I like mustard. I'll put them on the bread, and I'll spread it out. And that's the only way I can get bread down, is to have something on it. Maybe it's grape jelly. That's the only way I can handle the natural stuff of bread, is to spread something on top of it. To take the natural out and to give it something of life. See, to me, a piece of bread is not anything. Now, I know some families are different. To Susan, bread was dessert in their family. They loved bread, still do. I could take and leave bread. But in order for me to have bread, I've got to have something on it that makes it good. So why not take the Word of God, which is good, and spread it over all the bread in your life that's not so good, with the expectation that things are going to change. I don't put mayonnaise or mustard on my bread with the expectation of not tasting it. I don't. That'd be a waste of time if I did. Don't expect the Word of God to work. The Bible tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. God appeals to our senses because we're made that way in the natural. But I want you to think about the times that you're discouraged and times that you're depressed and the times that you feel all alone. Pull out the Word of God and spread it over that dismal piece of life that you're feeling right then, and expect it to make a difference. Expect it to make a difference. The Word of God is so real and it is so powerful. Think about the Word of God coming out of God's mouth and the earth was created. Think about how powerful that is. That Word is just as powerful today. That Word can be used to transform your situation. Jesus is really the answer to everything. He really is. Jesus is the answer when I'm down and depressed. Jesus is the answer when I'm hurt and angry. Jesus is the answer when I'm abandoned and left out. Jesus is the answer when I'm broken and despised. Jesus is the answer when I am talked about or ridiculed. Jesus is the answer when I'm being slandered or betrayed. I want you to think about how powerful Jesus is and the words of Jesus. And I love, this is going back to David again, I love the writings of David because it is so real. It is as though he's a regular human. And I know he was, but we tend to put him way over here. But in Psalms 27, he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. So why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress, protecting me from danger. So why should I tremble? When evil people come to devour me, when my enemies and foes attack me, they will stumble and fall. Though a mighty army surrounds me, my heart will not be afraid. Even if I'm attacked, I will remain confident. The one thing I ask of the Lord, the one thing I seek most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, delighting in the Lord's perfections and meditating in his temple. For he will conceal me there when trouble comes. Think about that. He will hide me in his sanctuary. He will place me out of reach on a high rock. Then I'll hold my head high above my enemies who surround me. And at his sanctuary, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing and praising the Lord with music. Hear me as I pray, O Lord. Be merciful and answer me. My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming. I hear you, God. You want me to talk to you? I'm coming. Do not turn your back on me. Do not reject your servant in anger. You have always been my helper. Don't leave me now. Don't abandon me, O God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord will hold me close. Teach me how to live, O Lord. Teach me along the right path, for my enemies are waiting for me. Do not let me fall into their hands, for they accuse me of things I've never done. With every breath, they threaten me with violence. You know, he could have stopped right there. But listen to verse 13. Yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently. This is a challenge for us. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Why do you think David said that twice? We need to hear it. We are an impatient people. And unless someone constantly reminds us to be patient on the Lord, we're liable not to. In a very real sense, we've all been in this place of waiting on the Lord to come through in some way. But the reality is that it's been Jesus that has sustained us all along. We think we've just been waiting over here, waiting for something to happen, but we got to understand that Jesus has been sustaining us the whole time. We might have had times of wondering where he is, but the very fact that we made it through shows his sustaining power. We might have had times of questioning his presence, but the very fact that we're here today shows his sustaining power. We might have had times of despair and depression, but the very fact that we are still standing shows his sustaining power. You see, Jesus is the answer to all our issues. He really is. That's not a cop-out to say that. That's understanding how big Jesus is. There's not a problem that I'll ever come up against that Jesus can't handle. There's nothing too big or too small for us to bring to him. There's nothing too unimportant for us to bring to him. There's nothing too insignificant for us to bring to him. There's nothing he can't do. Today we celebrate Jesus, not only as God's plan, not only as our Savior and Redeemer, not only as God's Son, and not only as a gift that we unwrap, but also as the only answer. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31 says this, have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Today, we're at the very last day of 2023. We can rejoice and celebrate together because we made it. It was a tough year, but we made it. We really did. We might find ourselves still in the furnace like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were at one point. But we're not alone. Neither were they. I want us to pray together today as a family. And as we pray, I want us to remember what Paul writes in Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. God can do anything, you know. Far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. And he does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Going into this new year, let's not place any limits on God. Let's engage our faith like never before. And let's trust him all the way. Sometimes we just trust him for the things that make sense. Well, you're going to get awful lonely in that place. But let's trust him all the way. Let's trust him when the enemy comes at us. Let's trust him when maybe our best friend betrays us. Let's trust him when the money just doesn't seem to make sense or last. Let's trust him fully. Let's apply the word of God to whatever situation that we're in. Let's not go through life eating unseasoned bread. But let's season our life with the Word of God and allow it to permeate the situation. And when we meditate on His Word, guess what? Things in the natural start looking different to you, even if they haven't changed in the natural. We begin to look at things through different eyes, a different lens. And it's God's lens. And we begin to see things the way He sees them. Now, you're never going to see things as though He sees them and be able to accomplish them without His power. We need Him. As the old hymn said, we need thee every hour. Every hour, we need thee. And that's the truth. As we go into this new year, yes, there may be some things that we wish didn't happen in 2023. But I'm telling you what, 2024, because of Jesus, has got so much promise. And it's so many blessings ahead of us. And we can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can taste and see in this land of the living that God is good and His mercies never fail and His goodness chases after us and His goodness is just that. It is so good. And when we apply that to our situations, guess what? Our situations change. If only in our perspective, they change. And how many of you know that when your perspective changes, the outcome's going to be a different result? When your perspective changes, things on the end or even in the process are going to be different. Because my eyes are not on the natural. My eyes are on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. When doubt comes, apply the word of God. When anxiety hits, apply the word of God. When fear comes, apply the word of God. When failure comes, apply the word of God. Apply the word of God on every single thing, at every juncture. And when you begin doing that, guess what? You will start sinning less. Now, how many of you would like to sin less? I'd like to sin less. That better be all of y'all. That better be everyone on the web as well. We all ought to strive to sin less, and we can't do it in our own strength. We can't buckle down and grit it and make it happen. But applying the Word of God to our situations, you can apply the Word of God to the lust of your flesh. You can apply the Word of God to the excesses that you feel. You can apply the Word of God to your relationships. There is nothing you can't apply the Word of God to. And when you apply the Word of God to it and leave it there, things change. See, if I were to put a nice coat of mayo on my bread, I don't eat white bread anymore, but in heaven I'm going to eat white bread. Put a heavy coat, none of that mayonnaise light stuff. This is real stuff on a piece of white bread. And then you rake it off. You're only going to have a residue of the spices that it might bring. Far too often, we apply the Word of God and then water it down. And therefore, we don't realize the full effect. Apply the Word of God. Let it permeate. Let it sit there. Meditate on it. Let it sit on that situation. I got a bad attitude. I'm applying the Word of God on that. Well, I still got a bad attitude. I'm going to put some more on it. I'm going to still put more on it. I'm going to put more on it. And I'm going to reject every thought that causes me to fan the flame to that bad attitude. And guess what? Down the road, you're not going to have that attitude. You're going to have an attitude, but it'll be a righteous one. And that's how He turns our mourning into dancing. When you apply His Word to every situation in your life, things change. And they will change for the better, because He's a good God. And He doesn't want us trudging down and being weighted down by the mess of the world. But He wants us to live above it. And when you apply God's Word, you are not bound by the natural any longer. You are surrounded by the supernatural. And it doesn't mean you're going to do it flawlessly. But the more you do it, the more you like it. The more you like it, the more it becomes essential. And when the more it becomes essential, you're built up in the things of God. You don't have to come to a heavy-duty prayer meeting just to get the spirit of prayer on. You can do it wherever. See, when the Word of God transforms you, it transforms you from the core out. And you no longer resemble the person that you were. You may look like them in the natural. You may look like your old self in the natural. But there's something different. There's something that changed. And that's what God's after. He is after change. He doesn't want us walking around doing the same stuff, expecting Him to bless it this time. When if we just applied the Word of God to start with, we wouldn't have ever asked Him to bless something that He couldn't bless. And that's a real problem in the Christian circles. You're asking God to bless things that He won't bless. And when you apply the Word of God, it straightens you out. You stop asking foolish things. You stop asking Him to do stuff that He's just not going to do. Because your heart has been changed, and your heart is His heart. And that means you long for the things that He longs for, and you hate the things that He hates. And it's never a person that He hates. It's the sin. And He hates the sin in our lives. He hates it so much that Jesus was the answer. Jesus is the answer to everything. And all month long, we have talked about different facets of Jesus and how we celebrate. Today, we just celebrate that He's the answer. He really is. And He's got good things for you. He's got good things for the church. He's got good things for the kingdom of God in this next year. Does it mean things won't go wrong? No, things will go wrong. But if we never needed God, think about this. If you never needed God, you'd never need God. If you've never came into a place of needing something bigger than yourself that you couldn't handle yourself or people around you couldn't handle, if you never get there, you're never going to need Jesus. And He wants us to need Him every hour. Every hour, He wants us to need Him. He wants us constantly saying, Father, what do You want me to do here? Father, what should I do here? And He wants you to ask that before you respond. We're good at cleanup. We really are. Oops. Sorry, Jesus. And thank God we have that. But His goal is for you to hear His ways first. And there'll be a lot less wear and tear on the old earthly tent if we would act his ways first and not react in the flesh and then pay a price to it. God forgives our sins, no doubt about it. But there's a cost to sin. It will take away something from you. God is fully able to restore and refresh. But he wants you to get to the point that we are asking him what to do before we react, before we respond, before we get our feelings hurt, before we feel alone, before we find fear, feel fear, before we let anxiety come in. He wants to be on the front end of that so he can get glory. He wants to get glory from your life. He wants to get glory from my life. And he will require more from you the more you give him. The more of your life that you give him, the more he's going to require of you to be a good steward with what he's given you. And the world is a dark place. And he's asked us to be the light, to be the salt, to be Jesus in the flesh, his hands and feet, to go and get those that don't know the good news. He's commissioned us to do that. It's no different for the year 2024. We're commissioned to go, therefore, and do what he tells us to do. That may mean preach the word. It may mean lay hands on the sick. It may mean cast out demons. It may mean things crazier. But when you apply the word of God, you know you've gone with his blessing. He has sent us to go therefore and do his stuff. What, that's a challenge this year, that we would go therefore and do what he's asked us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father.